Well, this morning, I would have you turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. We are looking at what it means to be reformed. We are studying the doctrine of justification by faith as a part of a larger study on sola fide, that salvation is by faith alone. And this study is profitable in every sense for those who would more effectively share the gospel with their friends and relatives and neighbors and acquaintances and co-workers. We need to understand that the Lord can save people out of very different backgrounds and situations where you wouldn't think that the Lord could reach into their situation and into their life and work in such a way as to bring them to Himself. But in this passage in Acts 16, we see that that's exactly what the Lord did. And so I want to read to you from Acts 16, verses 25 to 34. The setting is that Paul and Silas have been preaching the gospel in Macedonia, and the Lord has opened Lydia's heart to respond to the gospel. In the process of that, there was a woman who was possessed with a spirit of divination who was following after Paul and Silas and proclaiming that these men, verse 17, are servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. And it says that she did this for many days and annoyed Paul and Silas with this kind of advertising, which they really didn't need. And as a result of that, after many days, it says the Apostle Paul, still being annoyed, turned and cast this demon, for that's what gave her the power to divine, out of this woman. And as a result, her masters, she was a slave girl, her masters, seeing that they weren't going to get any profit from her because evidently she was able to foretell certain circumstances or to give them certain connections that they wouldn't have naturally and normally, seeing that they couldn't get any profit from her, they turned on Paul and Silas and they dragged them into the marketplace, verse 19, to the authorities. And they said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." And the multitude rose up together, verse 22, against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, verse 23, and threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now that's what you get for preaching the gospel. But notice what happened at midnight. These bruised men in pain, it says in verse 25, at midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What a great way to evangelize, by the way, through song. The Lord was pleased in many ways with this, but he was also pleased to bring a great earthquake at this very time. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, verse 26, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. This is just so precious. Not what he was about to do, but what the Lord was about to do. Verse 29 says, then he called for a light, or Paul says, I'm sorry, verse 28, called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. That is this prison master. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when they had brought them into his house, he set food before them. That is, this prison master set food before Paul and Silas, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Now let me ask you a question here, because we're talking about the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Was this man's faith the basis of his salvation? Well, I think that we can say that it was not, even though it was his faith that, in the sense that we're looking at, saved him. But that wasn't the basis of his salvation, was it? And what I'm trying to bring to your attention today is that faith is the condition for justification, of our being saved, of having righteousness imputed to our legal account and standing in the sight of God, so that we are considered by him as righteous in his sight. You can see here the basis of this man's salvation was not his faith. The basis of his salvation was what?
The Lord Jesus.
The work of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right, Brian. The basis of his salvation was the work of Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Now, that's a very interesting way of wording it, isn't it? And it's for our benefit that we pause for a moment here and we think together about it. Usually when you preach the gospel to someone, you say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. What's the difference, if any, here? Why did Paul use the word on instead of in? Can you tell me?
Well, I am not very good in English language, but I would say that I would guess that if he says on, that it's on the word that he did.
That's exactly right. That's why he worded it that way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on his finished work. Rest your soul on his finished work. And, of course, then the knowledge that comes through the gospel of his person, rest your faith on that as well. We certainly wouldn't leave that out. It wouldn't have been at all wrong for Paul to have said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But he realized, I think, the gravity of the situation. Here was this great earthquake that had taken place, and this man's job was at stake, and actually his life was at stake. The man knew that if the prisoners escaped, that it would be for him. So we need to understand that the gospel will always, well, it will often come to pass, that the Lord will work providentially in such ways that when you, dear Christians, share the gospel with other people around you, that they need to know the gospel in short compass. That they need to understand how to be saved like that. And that's what happened here with this man. It's not as though Paul didn't preach other words to him, because it says here in the text that he spoke in verse 32. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. But he led into it. I want you to see this with. He led into it with the finished work of Christ. And you and I need to do the same thing with people. Oftentimes. I'm not saying always, but I'm saying, and especially with people who have never heard the gospel before, that they would be able to understand that it is in Christ that we find the basis of our salvation. That faith is the condition. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And then we're willing to explain to people what the doctrine of justification is, and also the new birth that we're able to share with them about the change of heart that accompanies that saving faith is a part of this glorious work of God. It's not just something that comes from a person's self, a person's own heart, a person's own mind, but it's grace that creates faith in the heart of a sinner so that they can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and rest their soul on Him for salvation. Listen to James P. Boyce in his Systematic Theology. It's evidently so reckoned because by faith the sinner appropriates to himself the work of Christ and becomes vitally united with Him. And faith may therefore be regarded as the condition upon which justification is bestowed upon those to whom Christ is presented as a Savior to be received and rested upon for salvation. Faith, says Dr. Charles Hodge, is the condition of justification. That is, so far as adults are concerned, God does not impute the righteousness of Christ to the sinner until and unless he through grace receives and rests on Christ alone for salvation. Now, let me ask a question here. He says that is so far as adults are concerned, God does not impute righteousness of Christ to the sinner until and unless he through grace receives and rests upon Christ alone for salvation. Why does he say that so far as adults are concerned? Oh, this is good. This is so very good.
People used to use, or still probably use, the term age of accountability, where children don't know right from wrong and so forth. Plus, as we've talked before about the Holy Spirit was indwelling John the Baptist in their womb.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
yeah. Yeah. I think we need to be careful here. I mean, obviously, when a child or young person becomes old enough to hear the gospel and hear the words of truth, they become accountable in that sense, don't they? The age of accountability is when we understand, when we can understand the gospel and be saved. What he's implying is that sometimes persons may be saved by God even before they could understand. Or they may die as infants or young people and not really understand at all the truth, and we believe that God is gracious enough to apply the redemption of Christ to such. We leave that in His hands. But faith is the condition of justification. And Boyce says again, it is a condition which has no merit in it in itself. Do you see that? That faith has no merit in itself, but it is only that which seizes upon merit in another. That is, in Christ. And so it is also an act of the sinner to which he is graciously disposed and led by God Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? I think that is just precious. So first of all, faith is the condition for justification. And second, faith is the instrument or the hand that receives Christ. Would you turn with me over to John chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13? And would somebody like to read that for me? Faith is the instrument or hand that receives Christ. We're looking at John chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. Who would like to read that for me? Okay, go right ahead, Maria Elena. Boy, these are very powerful and straightforward verses. And we need to think about them for a few minutes here. Faith is the instrument or the hand that receives Christ. But as many as received Him, that is Christ, to them He gave the right or the power to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. According to this verse, which comes first, the new birth or faith? The new birth. It says, who were born of God. It's when you're born of God that then you can exercise faith, because you have to be given power. To as many as received Him, gave He the power. So when we come to Christ, that this implies something. What does it imply when it says that He gave the power, He gives the right? And you can also explain to me that if you'd like as well, or explain to all of us what it means, the right to become the child of God. What does that mean? Well,
if you have Christ's righteousness charged to your account, then you do have the right to become a child of God, because you have all that you need. There's two things that we need. We need to have our sins credited to Christ's account, and Christ's righteousness credited to our account. And when we have that, then we have that legal justification, which God can declare us righteous, because we are righteous, because we have been credited with Christ's righteousness to our account. I would say that is why we justly and righteously can be called children of God.
Thank you for that, Lyle. That's good. That's very good. He gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In Romans chapter 5, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet still helpless, He says there is in another verse. And both are true of us before we come to Christ, and as we are coming to Christ. Yes, Rita.
I just have a question. So when you're born again, you're born with a new heart, and you're born with a new spirit.
that feel like we need to come to God.
Yes, very definitely. That's a good way to put it. Christ died to purchase all the blessings, including faith. It has to be so. Otherwise, we would have it in our own power and strength to justify ourselves before God by faith. Faith would become a work in that sense, wouldn't it? But in this case, it's not the case, because faith is the instrument, or faith is the hand which reaches out and takes Christ, receives Christ, receives his salvation, the salvation that's in him. The verse is very powerful. Who were born not of blood, that is, it's not who you are related to, nor the will of man, or the will of flesh, rather, some strength in ourselves, or the will of man, to clarify it further, something within ourselves that we already have the power to be able to do, but it's of God. And it's the new birth that leads to our having this faith created in our hearts that then we exercise and come to Christ. It's, in other words, salvation is of God's mercy. If it was not so, then we could boast, couldn't we? We could say, well, yeah, I saw my need of Christ, so I just simply believed. Well, it wasn't that simple. It was more than that. It was that God gave you the right and the power to believe. Well, let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for this study. We thank you for your mercies, your tender mercies, which are over all your works, but they are especially in salvation to all of your elect people, and even those who are sinners who don't realize, like this dear jailer did, that he even needed Christ before the earthquake. And yet there you were to open his heart and to work in his heart and to give him the gospel through Paul and Silas and to declare unto him through them how he could be saved by faith, by believing on you, Lord Jesus. So help us to be those who preach and share the gospel to other people around us and understand your mighty working is needed. But help us to be faithful also to share the truth with those who need it. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.